Hello there, and welcome to episode 7 of the Nothing But Respect podcast, an unofficial Celtic Football Club podcast for the fans by the fans. I'm OC, and today I'll be joined by Bruce, Stevie, and Hunter as we look at Celtic's domestic games against Raith Rovers and Dundee. We'll also look at the potential signing of Carrolton Cole, as well as previewing the Hearts game and then taking a trip with On This Day Celtic to September 2006 for an Old Firm clash. Welcome to episode 7 of the Nothing But Respect podcast, an unofficial Celtic Football Club podcast. Since we were last on air, Celtic have played two games and have won them both with clean sheets. It was 6-0 against Dundee, and tonight they won 2-0 against Raith Rovers. What have you made of these two games, and has there been any particular players that have impressed you? I'll start with Bruce.
Yeah, the game on Sunday was really good. I think it was a kind of carry on for the good feeling about Ajax, because obviously it was disappointing in the end, but I think it was a wee bit of momentum starting to build again at Celtic. And we've been saying for like, I think it was a cover up for how kind of bad we were, but we used to say like, oh, Celtic are due to hammer some team, but we actually did dish out a hammer into a team that we actually thought were quite a good team. It was a good result, it was a good performance. I was impressed with Izaguirre, despite the fact that I had a monologue going through him last Thursday night. I still wouldn't have him in the team, but Jamie Drew scored twice, said an absolutely horrendous penalty that wouldn't have looked out of place at a Rugby World Cup, but Jamie's due. Who else? Rogic was outstanding. Janko was brilliant, and it was good for Chichi to get a goal. But Sunday was a good it was a good thing to happen for the club on Sunday, definitely.
Hunter, what did you make of the Dundee game?
A bit like Bruce, it's kind of carrying on the somewhat feel good factor from Ajax. I thought Dundee would have put up a better performance, but I think that's what we're capable of doing when we play to what are the best of our ability. I don't think 6-0 scoreline's that much of a surprise, because we are definitely capable of that. We're better than all the teams, and it was good to see Chifchi get his first goal. Good to see Griffiths continue on his good goal scoring run. And like Bruce as well, I thought Rogic played really well, and he's becoming a bit of a key player for us at the moment in the league.
Stevie?
Okay, just like the other two guys said, I didn't expect Dundee to be, you know, so poor as well. So I was like, you know, agreed with John Reid, the guest odd of the year guy, that, you know, I thought Hartley would have been a good shout for the next manager, but if turning at performances like that, I've maybe overrated them the same way that I was overrating Ajax. I thought Janko played really well against Dundee, and he's really got to start sort of challenging Lustig, and I'd, you know, have no problem with seeing that. And I thought it's a weird one, because Rogic, I think, is decent in the league, but, you know, when it comes to stuff like the Europa games and any other higher up games, I don't think he should be starting at all. But yeah, he's quite decent on Sunday. And in general, it was the sort of game we should have been winning, and we did quite well, so I've got no complaints with it at all. You'll be shocked to hear.
No, I agree, especially Dundee game. I thought it was good to keep that going after Ajax, because we were all disappointed last week because we felt that Izaguirre had cost us the 3 points. But to come out of that week with a draw against the top seeds in our group away from home, and then to go and hammer what we all thought was a good Dundee side, it was good to see. Especially, like you say, you mentioned Janko there, Stevie. I thought Janko was very good again, very dangerous going forward. And we had been saying it for a while that, well, we seem to always think that Celtic were trying to hammer our team, but on our day we should be taking a few passes. Moving on to the cup game, we won 2-0 the night. Players for me that stood out again was, I thought Janko again had a good game. Chifchi, I thought, played alright. Was that the night? Aye, cup game. What did you make of the cup game?
A fairly routine win. Wasn't he great? Took their time getting a goal. Once the goal came, they never really looked like conceding. Like, Raith Rovers stuffy, you know what I mean? Did what you know, made it hard for Celtic. But after Sunday, it wasn't the greatest. Next game, you know, you were expecting Cheesecake to come on and score a couple again tonight. I was happy that he got guts in 90 minutes, he probably needed it. But good to see Johansson actually do something positive for a change, worthwhile. But that was just a routine win, and the next round of the draw, and still no conceded a goal in the League Cup for 2 years.
Hunter, did you see the cup game tonight? What'd you make it?
I did. I thought it was a poor game, to be honest. I thought it was really dull. I think League Cup games at Celtic Park are a bit like that, when you only get around about 10,000-15,000 people actually going. I thought we were a bit slack on the ball. I don't think we played that well. I think we done enough. Obviously, we done enough to get the win. I actually thought Chifchi was quite poor tonight. Thought it was a chance for him to lay down a marker, especially after getting his first goal against Dundee, and I just didn't think he played well at all. I think Johansson took his goal well, which was good to see. I think, again, Callum McGregor just isn't good enough for Celtic. These games are quite tough, I think, because you're on a hiding to nothing, and they are potential banana skin matches. I mean, it must be hard for players to get themselves up for it when the stadium's as empty as it is, and even if you win 4-5, 6-0, you know, you're not going to get any of the credit you would probably deserve of that, because the gap's so big between the teams, and you would have been expected to anyway. So did what we had to do, but wasn't the greatest game.
Kieran Tierney played at left back tonight. What did you make him, Hunter?
I thought he played really well. I quite like Tierney. I think he's a really good prospect for us, and I know, I hope he can kind of, he won't cement a place in the team this season or even next, I wouldn't imagine, but I hope going forward that he is somebody who plays a vital role and can push Izaguirre for that left back spot, whether he does or not with Blackett. And I don't know, but I would hope so, because I think he has a good prospect.
Stevie, did you make a game against Raith Rovers tonight?
Didn't see it. I just assume these games. I just assume these games are a walkover, and it was. I know we had that nightmare against Morton, but 9 times out of 10, we're always going to win it. I mean, I just assume we're going to win, and I just saw on Twitter that we did, so. That was me. I just found the most entertaining bit of that, Hunter's part of the banana skin, just reminded me of Mark Venus's part of against Morton in that press conference.
What's a banana skin?
Fantastic. Aye, so there you are, Daz. Sorry, OC.
I thought Tierney played quite well myself. I was quite impressed with him. He looked fairly comfortable at left back, and he never really lost many tackles. And offensively, he's a wee bit like he's predecessor, but it is definitely encouraging for the future. I thought Blackett looked a lot more comfortable at centre-half tonight. He looked composed next to Ambrose. He never really troubled, and he was quite good on the ball, actually, for a change. He's looked a wee bit, kind of, like a rabbit cut, and he'd like suiting out in the left-back, so I know he said he himself he's a left-back, but on a night showing, and it's fairly obvious that if he's going to be playing with us, he should be a centre-half.
Well, one of the things that Blackett playing there, obviously since the Ajax game, Simunovic hasn't played, which that's a slight worry for me. I know they're saying it's a twisted ankle and that, but I'm sure there was some talk that we had slight doubts about his fitness, so I think that's a wee bit concerning that he's a red, but hopefully it's not mailing a slight knock and he's back playing with the amount of money we spent on him. But I definitely agree. I thought Blackett played well tonight. I thought Ambrose was alright as well. Two clean sheets in 2 games, can't really do much more.
That's true, and as you say about Yozo, it's obviously a worry, but don't want to write the guy off now as a sick note, but hopefully he can be back for the weekend, because the more he's in the team, because obviously he's got to be first choice, we spent a lot of money on him, so the more he's at the back, the more comfortable the defence will be. But just on what Stevie said about Janko, and Janko should be the first choice right back now. I think he's not on the basis of 2 games, I just think the fact that he's no, we know he can last 90 minutes, I think that's more important to us than Lustig at the minute. If Lustig can prove his fitness for 90 minutes, obviously he's first choice, but I don't think we lose much if Yanko's in the team, and Yanko's a far better player on the ball and driving forward. But it'll be interesting to see how the next few weeks unfold. There's a couple of big games coming up. Hearts are a good team, but it's in a good way, they know, you know, what a difference a week makes. Not, I mean, we're all depressed this time, was it, well, nearly 2 weeks ago now, but we seem to have, you know, obviously we're not in the corner yet, because it's Celtic, you're one bad performance away for a crisis and the managers he'd been called for. But if we can do what we did last year a wee bit earlier and put a couple of wins together, it's only going to be good getting into the rest of the season.
Moving on, you says we've got a few big games coming up. The next game for Celtic is Saturday at 3 o'clock against Hearts. How do you see that one going? Obviously, I'll just run through Hearts' recent results. They came back from 2-1 down to win 3-2 against Kilmarnock in the Cup there. Full at the Aberdeen had beat them, Inverness had beat them, and Hamilton had beat them. So how do you see that one going, Bruce?
Hearts are going to be right right up for it. I'd expect us to win though. Maybe not as comfortably 6-0, but I do expect us to score a few goals because Hearts have been very leaky at the back recently, and I think the fact, I mean, they're very resilient as the night showed, and they've scored a few late goals lately this season already, but they do leak goals at the back, and I think Kilmarnock are a worse team than Hearts are a good team. So I'm looking forward to it. Hearts always bring a decent crowd to Celtic Park. Celtic, you know, also return the favour at Tynecastle, so it'll be good. Not quite the biggest game in Scotland, but it'll do for the now. It'll be a good game though, because Hearts will be right up for it, and they've got decent enough players, and that big one, my boy, will be a test for whoever's at the back for us. So it's just, you know, but obviously hope they get any bad injuries ahead of Fenerbahce.
Hunter, how do you see Hearts game going?
Like Bruce says, Hearts will definitely be up for it. They will really be going for it. But I think sometimes Robbie Nielsen has a tendency to kind of overthink things and overthink his tactics and formations and stuff. So I don't know, it'll be interesting to see that, because I think he done that against Aberdeen. I just think he overthought it. I thought he was trying to be too clever. Mentioned they do concede a lot of goals. I think we've seen that Ian Barraclough was sacked from Motherwell today. Topical CFC. They're sitting 10th place, I think, and they've conceded less goals in the league this season than Hearts have. I think Hearts are joint second highest goals conceded. So they do leak a lot of goals. And I think we've had a lot of joy when we've gone to Tynecastle recently. With, you know, recent memory, I seem to think remember us scoring quite a lot of goals there, so hopefully we can do the same again. Like we say, they'll be right up for it, but I think Celtic like playing at Tynecastle as well. It's always a great atmosphere. Well, shows what I know.
Celtic, I think I'm pretty sure it's the Celtic Park.
Ah, it's the Celtic Park, we don't go to Tynecastle top Boxing Day.
Well, again, shows what I know.
Too busy talking about Mark Warburton, mate.
Who? I don't focus on Championship teams that aren't good enough for the SPL. Right, okay, well, Celtic Park then, we seem to score a lot of goals against them there as well. Same as always. I think we'll win. Celtic Park, I think we'll win. If it was Tynecastle, it might be sticky, but Celtic Park, I think we'll be alright. 2-3-0.
Steve, is this domestic game going to catch your interest?
I think when they mentioned that somebody doesn't subscribe to Wobbs Mania, knocked him out. It's his ball and he's not playing anymore. No, you're back now, we can hear you.
Yeah, I was just asking, is the Hearts game, is that a domestic game that's going to catch your interest?
I don't know if it's gone, it just, the Wi-Fi finally
Technical issue, Tim.
A technical knockout. He's away again.
I think it'll be a good game, Hearts. An alright team, and they'll be right up for it. But we've been not bad against them. We just put them out of the cups quite easily last season. So I'd like to think, especially at Celtic Park, we can.
I think they're a new animal this year, though. But they are very bad at the back, and they're there to be got at. And we'll get a few half of it, I'd imagine.
But you know, Griffiths is going to be right up for it.
Aye, Griffiths is always up for it.
Speaking of Hearts, before I forget, if you're thinking about tuning in to other podcasts, don't bother. It's my understanding that they'll have Robert Borthwick on their show. That's going to put a lot of bums on seats. Sorry, can I just put a caveat that I really like Robert Borthwick, in case you keep that in and it doesn't have any context?
He's a great guy with a great beard.
Yes.
Nothing but respect for him.
The beard is feared. So, Steve, are you looking forward to the Hearts game?
Actually, I am. I think, like the other two guys said, Hearts will, I think they'll come out. I think Robbie Nielsen, I mean, for all the reason I think they do concede a lot of goals is because they tend to come out and have a go, and because they don't just sit back and everybody's men behind the ball. They obviously just exploit themselves at the back, but it's quite refreshing to see them. And they generally are they're still a young team, you've got to remember that as well. And I think, you know, they'll learn and they'll probably develop and become maybe a tough test for teams as well, maybe ourselves in time. But I don't think we'll have a lot of trouble when we play them. I think my prediction is we'll probably win 3-0. We've got a very good record against them at Celtic Park in the last few years, and I don't see them bothering us too much. I do think the big guy, Delgado, up front, is one of my guy, I think. He's pretty decent, and he'll use a bit of a handful, but in general, I think we'll have too much for them in attack. But looking forward to seeing sort of how they'll play against us, and I don't think it'll be a boring game at all.
I think it's going to be a decent enough game and probably the game of the day, but
only show in town, brother.
I will actually, but no, the one my boy, he's a good player and he's a big physical striker, he'll take it to, yeah, I'd imagine it would be Boyata, but looking forward to Hearts games, but I was just wondering there, I've got, I mean, does anybody get any fond memories of Celtic v Hearts at Parkhead? I've got a few.
That was the first, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was the most memorable game because I think we were so bad that day and Hearts totally dominated, and then Big Velichka did what he did against us and, you know, made it 1-0. I couldn't really see it coming back, but it's a testament to Stratton's legacy at Celtic that we came back for nothing and then are now the goalkeeper fumbled the ball into the goal in the last minute when we just didn't deserve it. And they had some support that day. They had about 3,000 odd fans with them and they were making some noise, so it was brilliant to shut them up as well.
I think in terms of fond memories of Hearts game, it's at Celtic Park. I think the game we drew 2-2 with them when they were, well, we still had that unbeaten record at Celtic Park under Martin O'Neill, and I think it was a Gat and Sutton scored 2 goals in the last couple of minutes after being 2-0 down to make it 2-2. Always that one always sticks in my mind.
For me, it would be the midweek game where Big John Hartson scored. We won the league. I think it was Stratton's first season, was it? And they scored after about 5 minutes. Grand volley. That was my favourite. Well, one of my favourite Hearts games at Celtic Park.
Hearts dominated us that game, by the way.
Oh, Hearts were going for second. Well, they got second, but I think there was a lot of, as you said before, pre-internet bumpers that were suggesting Celtic should draw that game because they would win the league anyway. To let Hearts go further in front of Rangers. Just for the trend of originality, mine was the, I think it was 6-1 we beat them in Martin O'Neill's first season, and Antti Niemi was actually man of the match. But I think we went 1-0 and then we were like, I think 3 or 4-1 up at half time.
Was he no finish?
No finish, he's only 28.
Ah.
No, but I remember, I think it was Mialbi. He made a great save for him, but he was actually, the ball was behind him, he's actually tapped out his nail onto a post. But Celtic did some great stuff by that day. Under Martin O'Neill, that was probably up early. And he was only in the door as well. Martin O'Neill was only in the door about 3 or 4 months and he had a lot of new players. And obviously, Larson was in the midst of one of his best, he's probably his best season ever. And Stephen Bergeron, so that's mine.
I think another one that sticks out for me is the time we beat them 5-0 and Hooper scored all 5.
Oh, aye.
It was a trophy day, and I think it was the first time in like 4 years that we'd actually lifted the trophy at Celtic Park. And it was a wee bit anticlimactic because they had an opera singer and all that on, but
I remember
it was
that.
Still,
murder, by the way.
It was still, I still quite liked the occasion that being the first time we'd won it in years, and I think there was a real feel-good factor around Celtic that time, everything that was happening to our rivals at the time, and I just feel like that was quite a good time to be a Celtic fan.
Aberdeen did have a rotten season that year.
Is that not the year they sacked McGee?
I think it was, but just if when you're talking about feel good factor, that was actually what you could say started by, or certainly one of the turning points that season was when Foster saved a penalty against Hearts.
Aye. Was that the game when Wanyama scored?
Wanyama scored a peach for about 30 yards and then Foster saved a. Foster saved a penalty in the last minute.
For Jamie Hamill.
When we were in the middle of that,
it was Edgar Johnson that missed it.
And we think we'd won maybe 4 or 5. I think it was maybe 3 or 4 in the league in a row at that point. That was a kind of big game because obviously that could have stopped the momentum right there and gave Rangers an extra couple of points for us. But I think about 3 weeks later we beat Rangers to go top of the league. So that was always a big moment that season. It probably turned Foster's Celtic career around as well. He wasn't either.
Bit of Stevie trivia, I was greeting in the motor home after that game.
Delighted for Big Gold, Foster.
I was just dead happy that we won, because that was a phase of my life where I really, really, really hated Hearts to the point that I treated them just as bad as Rangers. I had so many bad occasions at Tynecastle, and I think the whole that thing the season before with the glorious new the Truth Seeker Lennon just made me hate them so much. And that season as well, the last game we played them, they beat us 2-0 at Tynecastle, they completely bossed us. Commons get sent off.
Foster get yourself sent off. Commons get yourself sent off, didn't he?
Aye. Commons.
He just ran out at somebody.
I think that was a game, Scatchell made it 1-0 and then Stevenson made it 2-0.
Was it Stevenson?
Aye, the tiny Templeton skinned Mark Wilson.
Aye, because Mick Mulgrew tried to save the ball and
palmed it into a net, not a tool.
I will. Anyway, that game and the 3-0 game at Tynecastle, I was absolutely livid with how Celtic fans were treated. Sounds like a ban pot here. But after it, I was, when we won 1-0, Foster made the save, and I thought we could really win the league. And I remember the drive home in London Road, and I was nearly bursting into tears. What a time to be alive. You wish you knew me back then, by the way.
I'm glad I didn't.
Hate that. I'm trying other Hearts games, but I think we've mentioned other good ones. He did beat us on Flag Day in 2007.
Move on. This week there was another, before transfer stories were all done until January. But last Sunday, Carlton Cole turned up at Celtic Park with John Park. He says that he's training with the squad with a view to signing a deal, and he says he's not back in MLS move for it. So do you think it'd be a good signing? And what do you think he can bring a team if we do sign him? So start with Bruce.
I'm so glad you started with me. My cousin, Big Carlton. obviously, we're related on my father's side. Obviously, he came up last Friday night and asked me, told me it was time, and spent the weekend with him. Obviously, he went to the Celtic game, he said he really enjoyed it. Been a tough time for the Coles, but looks like it's going to get better. And yes, I am going to get Cole on the back of the hoops, whether he signs or no. But it's feeling really blessed at the minute. No, in all seriousness, you don't stay in the Premiership for as long as he did if you've not got something about you. And he's not a goal-scoring machine, but he does bully defenders, and he's bullied a lot better defenders than Ash Taylor and Mark Reynolds and anything else he'll face in the Scottish Premier League. So is it going to win as a league? Is it going to win as a Europa League that he can't play in anyway? No, but it's a good signing if he does sign it. Because he's got to bring a bit of professionalism into the dressing room, you know, and we've not got a target man, so obviously it's an option we need to explore, and why not? If he's willing to come up, which obviously he is, considering he had, you know, he's not been fazed by Raman Bardwa chasing him down Glasgow the afternoon. That's not put him off, so he must really, really want to sign for Celtic. Good luck to him. So, aye, why not? You know what I mean? Chances are for us to do it. That's a market we should be exploiting anyway. So good luck to the big game.
Oh no, do you think he'll be good signing?
I'm quite happy with the prospect of him signing. Being in the English Premier League all his career, well, near enough all his career. He was there last season. He's capable of scoring goals. He's a decent physical presence, and I think we certainly need another decent option there, because I'm not convinced by Chifji. Stokes isn't a striker, and if it didn't happen to Griffiths, I think we'd be in trouble. So happy with it.
And Stevie?
He's better than Stokes, and he's probably going to be better than Chifji. You know, he's
probably better than Griffiths.
Maybe he is. Well, certainly this season, Griffiths at least has exempted himself from any criticism from me so far.
Yeah,
he
definitely
has. No, I mean, I just want him to sign, just so I can just keep calling him Carlton Danny Cole. That's my favourite bit about the whole thing. And the bit where Danny was mentioning how, you know, his professionalism and all that. I mean, he did sort of pack in his Twitter, I think, because he told somebody to fuck off, you cunt. So he'll fit in, because we've no learning where that from.
We've not had that since Steve Lennon chucked Twitter.
Exactly, bring him home, we'll have a Twitter ban pot.
And as the old saying goes, he ain't heavy, he's my cousin.
I just hope, I mean, all time, my man, as long as we feed him lie made and he will score.
No, I think he'd be a good signing as well. I saw somebody the other day saying it's basically down to English Premier League snobbery, that he's not got to move to another Premiership team. And I sort of agree with that. Their fans demand big money signings, so why should we not capitalise on still? I mean, he's only 31, like, it's not ancient, he's never been blessed with pace, so it's not really, I'd like to think he's still in decent condition, and especially score goals for us up here.
The thing is, there's a bit of snobbery with Celtic fans about this, because yeah, a lot of them have come out the woodwork and been like, oh no, why the fuck are we signing this kind of guy? They've moaned for ages about how we need a striker, and then any time there's somebody who who's played in English Premier League, they kind of moan about it. It was the same when Cameron Jerome got linked to us before he went to Norwich. People were saying he was crap, but and then he went to Norwich and you've seen the job that he's kind of done at Norwich and he's proved that he's a good player. I think Celtic fans can think, well, if he's not playing at a high-ish level in England, he's no good enough. And I just think it's wrong, and I think it is a kind of snobbery-ish type thing. Good use of English there, but I just think it is a wee bit of snobbery.
No, but let's be honest, you wouldn't be surprised if, like, he knocked his back tomorrow and signed for West Brom or Leicester or something.
No, nah,
he could probably, he could get a place in their squads. Obviously, no, well, they've got that 25-man squad thing, but, you know, theoretically, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if he ended up at a club like that. So we're taking advantage of the fact of that rule for ourselves and signing, I think, a decent enough big player. I don't think he's going to come out and score 30 goals, but if he comes up for a couple of years, and, you know what I mean, just we need that other option, and we've not got it. You know, it was, you know, throw Jozovic up front, Jozovic, Simunovic up front. You know, in the last 5 minutes, throw Ambrose up front. You know, we need somebody that we can, and he can, the thing that I like about him is, obviously he's not as good a player as Chris Sutton, but what I've seen him, he can drag a defender 20, 30 yards up the park. And that's, when we play teams that sat in, and then later on in games, you know, just put eight bodies across 18 yard line, you know, if he's taking people into boxing, it's going to open up space for us, so it's a good option. It's an option we've not got. You know what I mean? It's not as if we're not somebody better back to sign Carlton Cole. The fact is, we've not got an option. He's probably the best striker out there for us. So why not?
Aye, I completely agree. So I've seen somebody else saying that, well, if you were just to put it on paper and say, do you want a striker who's a big target man that's held a place down a Premier League team, then I take him. People just see, like, some people are desperate to get, like, Samaras and Hooper back. They couldn't get a game in the Premiership. Carlton Cole's been there for years. Like, and a good majority of his career, he's been at the top level in England. Like, he's got 7 England caps as well, so.
I totally agree with that. People can say they'd rather Samaras back, but Samaras is a big guy, but he offers absolutely no presence whatsoever. And I've got a lot of time for Samaras, as you know, but he doesn't offer a presence that Carlton Cole would offer. And the fact is, there's no tales out there for us, and I'd love Hooper back, said it before, but as you say, he couldn't get a game in the Premiership. Big Carlton's never been a regular, but, you know, he's been a constant. You know, they've not been afraid to throw him in when they need him. And I just think people are against it because people are against Denton Celtic Day these days. Fact is, he's English, he's for the Premier League, the overhyped Premier League, that, you know, everybody's rotten in the Premier League, according to him. People just don't like the fact that, I think people don't like the fact Celtic are going to actually try and solve a problem of theirs, because the less problems people have got, the less people have got to moan about. So, I mean, I'm not going to say Carlton Cole signing is going to shut down Radio Clyde and a super scoreboard for a week, but, you know, it'll give us an extra option, so I'm happy with it.
Are you Bruce Spaghetti? He's your cousin. You like him. Let's move on.
Look, just let me have this one thing, alright? I never ask for much in life, and, you know, I don't get much in return for what I ask for. I ask for little and I get less back. I just want one thing, boys, and I know you all want it for me today, and I appreciate that so much.
What are you talking about?
I know, Darren, if Neil McCann was to sign for Celtic, for you. So, just to support me.
Listen, Uncle Fergus saved the club, so...
your other Uncle Jerry, he's on the run, but...
Terrible. In tears.
Anyway.
So it's now the party show where I pass you on to Stevie on This Day Celtic, who's going to take us back to previous encounters. So I'll pass you on to Stevie.
Hello. On this day in 2006, Celtic beat Rangers 2-0. It was... The club formerly known as Rangers, who are now Safeco or whatever Phil wants to call them on Planet Football, but it was 2-0, we beat them in the 06-07 season, striking setting season. And it was a weird, one before it, everybody expected us just to squish it, but and they were saying Rangers were in a bad state under Paul Le Guin, and, you know, if they lost to us, the league would be over. But it's worth noting, they actually only lost one game previous. It was the week before they lost to Hibs 2-1, where Christopher Cullen did score two. But apart from that, they were still unbeaten. We didn't exactly say it, you know, the season of fire as well that year. We had narrow victories over like Aberdeen and O'Fallon the week before. So we kind of had a point to prove, but we actually went out and totally hammered it. And it was complete dominance from start to finish. The esteemed Neil Lennon, who I've always like rated and loved, put in a great ball, which we could have headed towards goal. McGregor made a good save, but Gravesen sort of scored the rebound. And the second goal, McGeady, who was probably man of the match that day, skinned so many, I think, three or four players, put in a great ball, and Kenny Miller made it 2-0, and that would be his first goal in Celtic colours, before he'd obviously leave for Derby a year later. But I don't know about your memories for that, I can go into mine later on, but I take it you all remember the fact that it was just complete dominance to start to finish.
That was a stroll, juicy, everybody just expected Celtic to win that game very easily, but Rangers... obviously, they'd only lost the one game, but there were signs that they were in a bad way at that point. And like when and things were starting to go wrong for them, but did they start Sebo?
No, Sebo was on the bench.
He was,
Was it Pirzo and Boyd?
Boyd hit the bar late on, but other than that, they had nothing.
I seem to remember, because Celtic started fairly well, but it took a while to actually get a grip of the game. And then, as you say, I probably agree, McGeady was probably best player in the park. I thought it was only 13 when that game was on. But I thought it was a complete stroll, and it should have been more than two, but very rarely did you see a Stratton team like go on and score 4 and 5. I know we did that a few times the season after that, and we did score 5 on occasion, but usually we just get games wrapped up early and then seeing them out with players like McGeady. Did it started? Who was your Celtic lineup that day? Did Jarosik start?
Yeah, I've got it here. It's Forrest, Telfer, Caldwell, McManus, Naylor, Nakamura, Lennon, Gravesen, McGeady, Venegar, Heslington, Miller.
I don't know why I thought Jarosik played, but I was quite impressed with Celtic that day, and it was did Macher missed a chance in the first half, didn't he?
Missed a chance after 5 minutes. McGregor. It was like that, in fact, it was after 2 minutes or something, but I think that was the kind of signs that Rangers defence was just all at sea and there for the taking sort of after that.
Because Maher had obviously in his much publicised goal drought at Celtic at that point, but once we get the first goal, it looked like it could have been anything, and then obviously second goal, but Maher was a great goal, and then we just seen the game out. I think it's fairly comfortable, but we had a wee bit Copenhagen in the Champions League coming up on the Tuesday, so I think that was why the game was just wrapped up. But I think that was probably start of the end for Le Guin, because they never really recovered after that.
Aye, I've got great memories. That was actually my first ever Old Firm game that I went to, because I wasn't allowed to go until I turned 16. That was the year I turned 16.
The last time we played McGregor, well, not the last time, but one of the last times we took it off when he was in loan at Dunfermline. And I thought it was going to be about 8 again, because he actually had a good game that day. And even though the McGeady header was getting in, it was a great save, a great attempted save. And Gravis had nipped in and took the ball off him, but I was only 13. I can hardly remember much about that game except the goals and the fact that Celtic always seemed to be on top.
The main thing with Lennon's cross was brilliant as well, and then Gravison just went through in it. By the hands, it was. I know it just looked like a crazy bastard with celebration. It just seemed like it would take end note. I obviously, because the second goal, McGeady does fantastic as well, because that comes really, I think it's Sionko puts it across the box and there's just no Rangers player there. I think it's hooked out. McGeady's about 20 yards inside his own half when he picks it up. And then to this day, that's one of my favourite Celtic goals, just because of how I've never, it's one of the times, I think you would push to find Celtic back and up, but that just for Miller.
I was very happy for Kenny Miller that day. Obviously, we can't predict the future and what we're on today, but I remember never being, like, obviously I was happy for Celtic score against Rangers and all that, but I think it was the first ever time I was so happy, maybe apart from when Larsson scored against the United in his last game. It's like the only time I've ever been so happy for a player to score rather than like the team. I was more happy for Miller than Celtic scoring. It was a weird feeling, but I was delighted for him, because Miller, say what you want about him, but when he was in that team, he worked so hard for Celtic, and he could see it was affecting him. So to see him get his first goal, it seemed kind of written that he was going to get his first goal against them right enough, but for him to finally do it was a relief. I think it was more relief for Miller than anything else, but I was delighted for him.
I've not got a bad word to say about Muller when he was at Celtic, like you say.
Like you say about him now, but...
Oh, of course, but...
I always thought he gave his offer a team, and you can't really ask more than that. He did miss some absolute sitters, right now.
I hated the way he left as well, because I'm sure fucking there was something that Lawwell told him he'd be fourth choice or something, there was no chance he would get a game. Because I'm sure he scored up at Pittodrie just before he left.
Scored two.
Aye, then was away, aye.
I think the tin hat on it was when Stratton brought Riordan on instead of him in the Spartak Moscow game. Because I think Stratton obviously trusted Riordan and Zaraski to take penalties rather than Kenny Miller.
Hunter, what's your memories of it?
Being at Kelvin Grove and then getting a bus home and trying to find out what the score was and a time before mobile phones and having to just ask some drunk guy in the street what the score was and having to just kind of believe him and wait until I got up the road to actually find out the actual result.
So when he said do nothing to the bastards, who did you actually think had won?
The Celtics, obviously.
Big Hunter, I know you said you met some drunk guy, but it's alright, you can mention Bobo's name.
Hey, listen's in.
He'll love the shout out, and then he'll remember it the next morning.
No, my big memory of that game that I always just hang on it, that you usually remember when I mention this, was Chris heat-stroke and Buck. Breaking his arm when he tried to be a hard man against McGeady in a shoulder challenge and he just came out with it absolutely terribly.
McGeady tore him apart that day. I think he nutmegged him twice. But just for the second goal, McGeady went by Hutton, 9 million rate at Hutton, like he wasn't there. He played a great ball through him. It was complete dominance, man. It was a tooling.
It was a pleasure to be there.
It was. Well, I wasn't there, but I'd imagine it would be.
It was a pleasure to be there.
Supporters' buses were doing great on the way home. Just how much I liked Jan Venegar at Hesselink. And I always quite fond memories going back to times he was at Celtic. And
a wonderful man,
I agree with this.
I loved him. My debut goal against Hibs. That was superb. Just coming off the bench because that was. That's an odd. McGeady had some season for us that year.
Nighty Moore had a good year at year two. That was the last time we ever won. First Old Firm game this season.
That's mental.
Next year we get beat 3-0, then we get beat 4-2, then we get beat 2-1, then we get beat 3-1, and then we get beat 4-2. And then something happened in Scottish football. Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck and all that get together and film something about Scottish football.
So that brings an end to episode 7 of the Nothing But Respect podcast. I'll just quickly take score predictions for the Hearts game. I think Hunter and Steven gave us some, but I'll run them by you again. So, Hunter, what's your prediction?
3-0.
Stevie?
I'm also going to say 3-0 to the Davy Coops.
Chris?
I'll say 3-0 to the Mozzarella Melts.
And I'll go 4-1 Celtic.
Thanks for ruining that, Dan.
So I'll now pass you over to the boys, so I'll give you your final words and where you can find them if you want to. So, I'll pass you to Stevie.
Alright, Rodney, stupid part of me, by the way, one thing I was going to say is if you want to start sort of following the at on this day Celtic, you sort of give that a wee shout out if you can. It's a shameless plug and I'm sorry to do it, but the next time I do it I'll go back to being a comedy sign off. But at on this day Celtic is the best place to go if you're interested in all these segments with it at the end. Jules.
Hunter, follow me on Twitter at Bobo Balty, where you'll see me talk a lot about drinking. And the way I used to take Danny Mills back in the 90s. And I'm a really good follow on a Friday night because I finish work and I get pished. So, I'm well worth a swatch on Friday nights. That's at Bobo Balty.
And Carol.
You can follow me at Onome if you like Gormis and Confessions of a Retail Worker. I'm usually good for bar, and I like my work, and people that come into my work, that's on all, mate. Couple of W's, and all, and no, and a couple, just, that's on all, mate, you know, all week. And I long for my days when I was in the barber shop with it.
And you can follow me at Cameron's Pig. No, you can follow me at OC Boy, and you can follow the official podcast Twitter at Respect the Pod. where you can keep up to date with when the new episodes are live. So if you've made it this far, we've got nothing but respect for you. Thanks for listening. Cheers.
Down, down, down.